Father, we thank you for another opportunity to dig into your word, Lord. And Father, as you have laid on my heart this teaching in reference to Patrick's chapter 34, I pray, Father, that it would speak to everyone, Lord, and God, that you would strengthen, that you would encourage them, Lord. It's a hard thing to wait on God many times, to wait on you, Father, because our wait is different than your waiting. We could wait for a long time, but then it could be done overnight. You know what you're doing. And Father, I just pray that you would bless this word, that you would speak to us through it, Lord. And God, we're your sons and daughters, man. We're going to see you soon. I just pray that you would bless our time of fellowship together, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. So I'm going to take this out of Psalm 27. It is a Psalm of David, King David, in the Old Testament. And I titled it, Our Confidence Comes from Waiting on the Lord. And I'm not going to read the Psalm because it would take too much time, but I encourage you to read it. But I will expound on it, on what David was relaying in and through it. In the first half of the Psalm, God is referred to in the third person. In the second half, David talks directly to God. But the enemies whom David fears are throughout the psalm. I mean, you can just hear it as you're reading the psalm. So David speaks of his desire to dwell in God's house in order to behold the beauty of the Lord as he seeks God's face. The first three verses show David's confidence in God on the basis of previous experience he had with God, that God has been his light, that God has been his salvation, and that God is his stronghold. You know, we know these things, but we need to be encouraged too and reminded of it because we just get busy. We just get caught up in things that we've been given to do. When it comes to thinking of God, I mean, trying to visualize him, probably the best we can do is think of light. Think of light. Paul wrote about that in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. God is often associated with light in the Bible. In the scriptures, this verse is the only direct application of the name light to God in the entire Old Testament. Psalm 104 verse 2 says of God, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Psalm 18:28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Well, here in Psalm 27, again, it's the only Old Testament text that you will find from Genesis to Malachi where God is called light. Now, a good parallel is in the New Testament. Their light is a name for Jesus Christ. We read in John 1, verses 3 to 5, all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In John 1, verses 9 to 11, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And this part is really sad and tragic. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John the Apostle says in one of his epistles, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So this use of light in John's gospel has to do with understanding, which is why it's applied to Jesus, of course. In Jesus, we see or understand what God the Father is like. So Psalm 27 could be speaking of illumination, could be speaking of purity, of joy, of life, of hope. Since David is thinking about his enemies and looking for deliverance from them. Psalm 28 verse 8, I love this verse. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. John Stott, I've got a couple of his books. He's an awesome author. John Stott wrote, "The Lord is my light, to guide me, my salvation, to deliver me, and the stronghold of my life in whom I take refuge." You know, it seems like anymore lately, I'm taking refuge in him all day long, all day long. I mean, you can go from having joy to, in another moment, just feeling all alone, feeling separated as we wait on God. You see, David had a great desire. Verse 4, listen to what verse 4 says. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Now the reference is to the earthly temple, or tabernacle. God's house was still a tent David used for the ark when he brought it to Mount Zion. We read that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. When David was ruling as a king after King Saul. But it wasn't the earthly temple David was considering. It was the beauty of the Lord that was to be found at the temple in a special way. You see, it's the Lord, it's God that David is seeking, and yet he seeks it in the temple. It comes down to a matter of spiritual fellowship. John chapter 4, verse 23. There's something to be experienced of God in church that's not quite as easy to experience anywhere else. I mean, if it's only instruction we need, naturally we could get that by an audio tape or a book or whatever. If it's only fellowship, we can find that in a small home gathering. We're having fellowship right now on the conference line, the four of us. Five of us. But there's something to be said for physically singing the songs. I mean, sitting in the seats, looking to the pulpit where the Bible is about to be expounded, tasting of the sacraments, coming to the Lord's table, the juice, the matzah cracker, and the atmosphere of the place set apart for the worship of God. There's just something to be said about just being in the midst of that. Now, I don't deny God can and should be worshipped elsewhere, but the physical worship of God in the company of other believers, I mean, it's almost sacramental, man. Almost sacramental. In the latter half of Psalm 27, it changes. Listen to verses 7 to 9. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." So there's a few things that I see in this. Number one, we want acceptance. We want acceptance. I mean, in the world, we experience rejection. Parents reject children. Children reject parents. Husbands reject wives. Wives, husbands. We're rejected by friends. It almost seems like in every aspect of this life, it's rejection. We can experience rejection from someone almost every day of our lives. But the key is, God never refuses us. God never rejects us. You see, David prays knowing God will never forsake him. God has accepted him in the past, and God will continue to accept him. It's the same for you and me. We're his sons too. We're his daughters. Spurgeon said, "These dear relations will be the last to desert me. But if the milk of human kindness should dry up even from their breasts, There is a Father who never forgets. Some of the greatest of saints have been cast out by their families. The second thing I see here, we want to be heard. Sometimes our children talk to us because they want to be listened to, not necessarily because they care for what we're going to say. The problem can be as parents. We're too busy to listen. God is never too busy to listen. When we speak to Him, He's listening. Matthew 7, verse 7. Thirdly, we seek guidance. I mean, we don't always know the way to walk to keep out of sin and make progress in the way of righteousness. Just like children, we need to be taught. And in God, we can turn for that guidance. David prays in verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." You know what he's doing here? You know what he's saying? He's confidently praying because he knows God will do it. God will do it. Fourthly, we seek protection. Children look for a parent to protect them. David is seeking this of the Lord. He's waiting on the Lord. David needs God's protecting presence just as one of our children needs their father in circumstances and times like these. So here's the question. Did David's prayer pay off? I mean, did he get the acceptance? Did he get answers? Did he get guidance from God? Did he get protection that he needed from God? You bet he did. How do we know this? Because the psalm ends with him saying in verse 13, the last verse of Psalm 27, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." In its context, David is not speaking about the next life after our death in this one. He's speaking about the land of the living, the here and now. But I also need to issue a warning. The things he's praying for and for which we pray today don't always come to us right away. I could probably get an amen from each one of you right now. I mean, God has his timing. I wish I knew how his timing works, but I don't. After all these years, I don't. God does what he does in his timing. And you know what? I have learned this much. God's timing is always perfect, regardless how I feel. Regardless how I feel. You ever feel like God's abandoned you? You know, I went through that for about an hour today. I was inside, I was trembling. Because I felt like God had abandoned me. I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't know what to do except to get in and start reading his word. I don't ever want to feel like that. God has his timing, which is not ours. So what we pray for and need is sometimes delayed. That means we shouldn't get upset. We shouldn't get all bent out of shape because we haven't received any answers. We can't lose our confidence. What we need to do is wait on God. Wait on God. This is exactly what David wraps up with in verse 14. I thought verse 13 was the last one. I'm sorry, it's verse 14. Listen to what he says. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." If somebody promised to give you something you really wanted, wouldn't you wait for it? If you were in trouble and someone was coming to help you, wouldn't you be looking for them to show up? I mean, it just makes sense. Scripture teaches God is this person. I can tell you from experience, he's well worth waiting for. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb. It's a privilege to wait for God. The problem is we don't want to wait. We end up taking things into our own hands. Hey, guilty as charged. And you know as well as I do, that's when we get sticky and we get in trouble, man. It always happens. It always happens. So if there's something you've been seeking the Lord on, I can tell you this, according to God's word, you can take it to the bank. God's already working on it. He's already working. Regardless how we feel right now, he's behind the scenes, and you know what? He is going to blow us away, man, with what he's been doing. But he wants to do it according to his perfect will. So here's the best advice I can give you, counsel that I can give you. Just be patient. Wait. Just keep your eyes on him. Referencing chapter 34, our confidence comes from waiting on the Lord. Father, we do come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that brings. Father, we just can't do it on our own. We're human. We're frail. You know that we're only dust. That's all we are is dust. And it's hard. It is very tough. Sometimes, many times, it feels like we're getting hit with one thing right after the other. And you know, I know every one of us listening to this teaching can say that there's many times we just want to throw our hands up and say, man, that's it. That's it. I can't do this. I just can't do this. Father, help us to wait on you. Give us the strength. I mean, you gave us that deposit called the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And he's here to lead us and guide us and comfort us. Jesus said that. Father, help us to take that to heart and truly wait on you. Father, we love you. Go before us now. Bless the rest of our day and week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.